You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
We've been talking about the title of my message has been, If I Were the Devil. And so this is the last one I'm going to do on that. Number seven, if you're keeping track. And the first five, we looked at, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. Everybody say, I'm not ignorant. And what are you not ignorant of? We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. How do you be not ignorant? You have to know what his devices are. You can't guess. You can't wonder. The Bible is full, and we've looked at so many of them, of what the devil's devices are, what he tries to do. He's done it from the beginning with Adam and Eve, and he's done it throughout the Word of God. And so you and I are, you know, and we didn't cover them all, but we covered some of the bulk of what the devices were. And so then we began to look last week at what our arsenal is full of. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And then it tells us that we're fully armored with the armor of God. We have on a breastplate of righteousness. We have a helmet of salvation. We have a shield of faith. We have the sword of the Spirit. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then we have a loin belt, the logos, the written word of God, to tie it all together, to hold it all together. And today, though, I just simply want to give you the one that I think is the most important, something that after the resurrection of Jesus that was given to each and every one of us, something maybe that you take for granted because maybe you've heard and done and don't even sometimes realize what you're doing. But there is a name that is above every name. I said, there is a name that is above every name. And we're just simply going to look at the name of Jesus today because that's the weapon. If that's the only one you ever had, you would win. Now, the last thing I want you to remember, we looked last week, the very last thing I talked to you about was the temptation of Christ. And remember, Jesus was showing us how to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword is distamos. It's two, that word di means two. Distamos, the stamos part is mouth. So the Bible says, basically, he said something, now you've got to say something. And we have an enemy, and the Bible says to resist him steadfast in the faith. Do I got any in this room that you have submitted yourself therefore to God and you can now resist the devil? And what's he going to do? He's going to run from you as in terror. Now, what do you resist? Well, resist the devil himself, yes, but more for us, we resist the works of the devil. So you've got to know the works of God versus the works of the devil. Therefore, you've got to know, God said this about temptation. The Word of God says that when you're tempted, that don't anyone say that God tempted you. Because God is not tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. So you've got to know the difference between a temptation and a test. And I don't want to stop here, but the body of Christ as a whole is totally confused about what a temptation is and what a test of God is. Now, if you have a test in God's kingdom, it's open book. So you won't fail. A test is never a temptation. In other words, I said it like this, when the devil does something, if you were delivered from alcohol, a test is not going to be one of your old buddies coming by with a six-pack to see how you're doing. If you've ever had trouble in any area, the Lord is not going to send something across your path that could tempt you to see how you're doing. The Lord tests you with obedience to his word. Are you a tither? That's a test. Because if you can't obey what he said, you failed the test, and then you can't receive what he has for you. A test comes from God, meaning he's given you something in his word, and he wants you to obey it. But so what the devil does? Well, it's temptation. Anything the devil does, opposes what Jesus did in his death, burial, resurrection, ascension. So anything the enemy would do to steal, kill, or destroy. We say it like this all the time. You know, here at Cornerstone, you're going to hear John 10:10 all the time. I don't know why, but that comes out almost all the time when I'm preaching, because that's the beginning of knowing what's from God and what's from the devil. If it's good, it came from heaven. If it's bad, it came from the devil. A four-year-old could figure it out. It takes a preacher to mess it up. And that's the truth. If it's good, where does it come from? Every perfect, every good gift comes down from the Father of light, with whom there's no variableness. In other words, that never changes. Any number you put into the equation, God's always going to be good. Amen. There's no variableness. He's a constant. Taking some of you back to algebra. God's a constant. He never changes. Never. He's always good. The devil never changes. He's always bad. In other words, have you ever heard this? What, when something bad happens, what will people say? Well, I just believe that's a blessing in... See, you all knew that. And how many of you know that's a bunch of baloney? God doesn't believe in Halloween. And he doesn't have to dress his blessings up with destruction. He never sends destruction to try to bless you. Yeah, but I've had things, you know, I was in the hospital. I was laying there about to die and I recovered. And I led the person next to me to the Lord. I believe the Lord sent me there. No. What had happened was you got sick. You got spiritually aware, and while you were there, you decided to obey God. Can he work something bad and turn it to good for those who are called according to his purpose? That's right. But you have to know the source. Or like Opal says, the author. I never, when I first heard her say that with her southern drawl, I didn't know if she was talking about the author or Arthur. So, but you have to know the author of it. Because that's the beginning. And if you do not know who the author is, or who the sender is, or who the source is, then how do you know what to resist? And this might be simple for you in this room, but there's a whole bunch of people that you know that don't know this. And you need to let them know. I know that there's certain ways, you know, I get in trouble sometimes because I can be, you know, when you're full of something, sometimes it pops out. And it could pop out wrong if you're not careful. I tell this story, but it comes up again. So there was a young man that was here, and he was part, a staff. I had blessed him with something. Anyway, he got into an accident with a truck. And he had had a number of things go on. And so I was on the way to the emergency room, and I met his mom. And we were walking back together. And she said something like, well, I just believe that the Lord did this for some purpose. And she was, I'm a pastor, and I know she was trying to wax religious with me because she was uncomfortable. As she was saying that, and I just turned around and said, no. God didn't cause this. And then afterwards, she told her son, you know, hey, your pastor's kind of blunt and rude. And so, but sometimes you got to shake people up a little bit. Do it by inspiration. Don't just do it to be obnoxious. Do you know where things come from? How do we know? We know from the Word. Because you can see from the temptation of Christ, the devil was trying to wrest or misuse the Word. Now, Jesus was the Word, and he knew the Word, but you've also got to know, how many of you know you can make the Scripture say anything? And the devil has done that with people. You've got to rightly divide the Word of truth. And you've got to know, if Jesus bought and paid for it, did he pay for your salvation? Did he pay for your healing? Did he pay for your prosperity? Did he pay for your peace? Did he pay for your joy? All the things that he paid for, you don't have to put up with the devil trying to take it away. You don't have to put up with sickness and disease. You don't have to put up with lack. You don't have to put up with confusion. You don't have to put up with distress. You don't have to put up with depression. You don't have to have anything the devil's dishing out. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. And so the best way, another way I'm going to talk to you about is the name of Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. So let's begin by looking at Luke chapter number 9. While Jesus was yet still on the earth, he had not gone to the cross. Obviously, when Jesus was on the earth, everywhere he went, the Bible says he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He multiplied loaves and fishes. He caused prosperity to come to Peter through net-breaking things, through one hook and one line, throwing out gold in the mouth of a fish. I mean, Jesus, while he was on the earth, was showing what belonged to the body of Christ and to believers through everything that he was doing. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what Jesus did when he was on the earth, he said, I don't do anything independently on my own, but I only do what I've seen my Father do. I only say what I heard my Father say. And so he's showing us the will of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so obviously when he came to earth, he was given a name. Remember that the angel told Mary what to name him. Everybody, what's his name? Jesus. Come on, say it again. Say it.
Jesus.
Are you grateful for that name? And so he had, and so remember even the centurion. The centurion came to him. Remember the guy that had someone sick at home? And he said to Jesus, what? I see you're a man under authority. Some people preach it, he's a man of authority, but that's not what the centurion said. He said, you're a man under authority. And he said, I'm a man under authority also. I say to this one, go, and he goes. This one, come, and he comes here, you know. So all you've got to do, Jesus, is give the word. Now, how many of you know Jesus was the word made flesh? And so when Jesus spoke something, he was speaking with delegated authority from the Father, right? He was Jesus when he walked on the earth because he laid aside his deity, and what he was doing with the authority of God Almighty, the Father, and so when he did something, things changed. Now watch this here, this is before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, he called his 12 disciples together, gave them, you can't give somebody something you don't have. Gave them power. That word power there is authority. And authority over all devils. He gave them the power to deal with it and the authority over all devils and to cure diseases. So he gave them authority and he gave them power to take care of the devil or all devils. Now when you read that, don't just think of people who are demon possessed. Because demons, devils come from, you know, Satan. And the fact of the matter is every bad, ugly, nasty thing has its origin in them. And you need to remember that in your walk. Don't look at people causing you the problems. Look at what's behind them causing you the problems. You don't have authority over people. You have authority over what influences those people. And unfortunately, even believers at times can yield to the devil. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, let's look at this one dude. His name was Peter. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and bone has not revealed that to you, but my Father is in heaven. You're never going to the cross. I won't allow it. Get behind me, Satan. It's like in the scriptures, in one breath. And I hate to think of that, but can people do that? Well, if you've known anybody, yes, they can. Yes, they can. I don't want you to get your eyes just on the enemy, on the devil himself, but I want you to see anything that's evil, anything that's bad, anything that opposes God is what you have authority over. So he gave them authority. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God to heal the sick. And then let's look at chapter number 10 of Luke. Luke 10, 1 and 2. 1. After these things, the Lord appointed another 70. So we got the 12 doing it, and then we got 70, and he sent them two by two before the face of every city and place, whether he himself would go. And then this is the report in verse 17, Luke 10, 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. How? Through your name. Everybody say Jesus. So he sent the 12 out and he sent the 70 out. He sent them out in the exact same way. So the 12, in my mind, went out with, because they had authority, they went out in the name of Jesus or in the place of Jesus. So when they say in the name of Jesus, they're saying this: I'm a representative of someone who sent me. His name is Jesus and he happens to have authority. And so I've come in his name. I've come in his, I can do business in his name. It's like this. When back when I was in Bible school, I'll use this example. In the 90s, I was the acting first assistant of a McDonald's there in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. It wasn't my McDonald's. I didn't own it. I didn't have the $1 million for the what do you call that? Yes, exactly right. I didn't have that. And so I put on the tie. The owner gave me keys. He gave me the code to the safe. I had the ability to hire and fire. I appointed people to work and when not to work. I took money from there, put it in the bank. I ordered all the products that came in and went out. And I did that all in his name. I drove a beat-up car. He drove a yellow, cool Corvette. But never, oh, that was just, never mind. That didn't have anything to do with anything. It just popped out. And so, but I did everything in his name. When I fired someone, he didn't come back around and ask me what I was doing. He trusted me. He gave me his ability to hire and fire. He trusted me to buy some hamburger buns in his name. Bought a lot of them. He trusted me to take his money, wasn't my money, and take it to the bank. What is that? He gave me delegated authority. I did business in his name. And so when I spoke, it was like he was there to back it up. When I did something, I did it in his name. Now, in the natural, that can be very dangerous. And I asked the Lord one time, I said, why do you trust us all so much? And basically, he said to me, I don't trust you so much. He said, that's why I gave you the Holy Ghost. Our helper, the one who lives on the inside of us, the one who we listen to, that's the one we can trust. But my point is, here, they said, even the devils are subject to us in your name. Now let's go on and finish. It said, he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He's like, yeah. I saw the guy fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So not just the devil, I've given you power over everything. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Because I've given you power. Because I've given you my name. Notwithstanding, don't get caught up in all that. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because this is more important, that your names are written in heaven. I get it like this. You should be more conscious of your name written in heaven, because that other stuff is just supposed to be. Because that's just how it's supposed to work. You are a person of authority because you've been given a name that's above every name. And yes, Jesus said, I was there when he fell like lightning from heaven. And you see, listen to me. I always start here, and I don't have a lot of time today because I just want to rev you up. I just want to encourage you, and I want to make sure you're using the name of Jesus. And not just when you pray over your food, and not just when you need something, but I want you to be using the name of Jesus. I want it on your lips. I want it in your mouth. I want you to mix faith with it. And I want you to know that when you say the name of Jesus, you've got all of heaven behind you. Amen. Look, the 12 and the 70, this is before the resurrection. This is before Jesus went to hell. This is before Colossians 2:15. There is enough power in Jesus just saying, I've given you my name, now you go, that everywhere these 82 people went, that everything changed when they went there. So if this worked for these 82 before the resurrection, come on, how much more today? We ought not be struggling with this. We ought not be wondering about this. Colossians 2:15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of him over, triumphing over them in it. Having spoiled principalities and powers, there is no question in our mind that Jesus went into the bowels of hell and destroyed the works of the devil. Now listen to me. The Bible in the book of Acts is very clear. He went into hell. I don't know why he had to go into hell, but hell seems to be the origination point, just like heaven is the origination point for everything good. Hell still seems to be the origination point of everything demonic. Now I know that's hell was created for the devil and for the fallen angels. It wasn't created for man, but people who reject Jesus go there. But also it seems to be the center of where the activity is from the devil. Even though the devil is on the earth right now and demons are on the earth now, just like heaven where God lives and angels live is where things seem to originate from, hell is an operational place. And Jesus, I don't know why, had to go there. I think he went there for twofold, because of me and because of you. But I believe he also went there because that was the center of activity. And the Bible says he went there, and that's where he destroyed the work of the devil. That's where he went to destroy the works. Are you glad the devil's works has been destroyed? Now, you see, some people, once you start learning there's an enemy, they get all caught up in how big and how bad the devil is. The devil has never been big and bad. Listen to me. He was a created being. What did his name used to be? Lucifer, son of the morning. He used to be a praise and worship leader. That's not big and bad. Now, he was influential and he was deceptive. To be able to deceive one-third of the angels is we should not take him lightly. But God says that he gets rid of the devil with his finger. I can't do this like Pastor Rhonda, but it's like if you get something on your jacket, I do this. If you see something, I kind of flick it off. Come on, don't give the devil too much credit. Just flick him off. Don't flip him off, flick him off. I heard you. That would be great. Let's see if that'll go viral. Hallelujah. Cody, no. Okay. But do you understand that? Sometimes in our minds, we look at the devil and we think, wow, he's big. But if you start getting that attitude, like he's winning, he's big, he's bad, you're going to lose. You have to know Jesus destroyed him. Ephesians 1:21 says this, and having he's far above. When he was raised from the dead, he was far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which has come. So no matter what they name it, the name of Jesus is above it. I said no matter what they name it, the name of Jesus is above it. And we know Ephesians 2:6 says we were what? Raised up together with him. So not only was Jesus raised up, you were raised up. And you are now, because this is important, Jesus is not the only one seated above. Now, really, you need to get this. Jesus is not the only one that has destroyed the works of the devil. Okay, now this is going to get complicated. Not really. You're more than a conqueror. What makes you more than a conqueror? He did all the work. It's like when that young man won a gold in his boxing at the Olympics. He got his gold medal, and the first thing he did was took it off and put it on around his mom. And told her it really was hers because she did all the sacrifice. He won the fight, but she did all the sacrifice. What does that make mama? More than a conqueror. She didn't do it. He did it, but he gave it to her. I'm telling you, you're more than a conqueror. You're seated far above. Where are you seated? Far above. How you see yourself in this is so important. If you're trying to get the victory, you're not going to get victory. If you enforce it from a place of victory, you'll remain victorious. You are already, you're not trying to get victory, you already got victory. You're not trying to get healed, you're already healed. You're not trying to get blessed, you're already blessed. This is a finished thing. It's a done deal. Once you receive Jesus, this was all given to you. Now, you've got to have the knowledge and the understanding to begin to work with it. Amen? Now, the last thing Jesus said to us in Mark chapter 16, before he left, he said, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Now, you go. How do you go? Go in my name. Go in my name. So now he's given us the right and the privilege. So it was just like the day that he told the 12 and the 70, he said, I want you to go, and here's my name. Now this time, though, this is after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. So if the 10, if the 12 and the 70 had so much power and authority that devils were subject unto them through his name, in other words, what could that be? Sickness, disease was healed. They were doing miracles. Everything was able to change because of Jesus' name. How much more when you speak the name of Jesus? Everybody say, Jesus. When you know what's behind that name, you know the authority of that name, then things will begin to change. In Acts chapter 19, let's look there. Acts chapter 19. There were certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you? And the man whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. So I want to get a couple things here real quick, because I could spend a little time on here, but I haven't, messages passed over the years. But I want to get you this. The devil knows if you know. Sickness knows if you know. Sickness has ears. Don't have time to explain it, but yes, it does. Poverty has ears. Everything has ears. How do I know that? A fig tree had ears. Storms have ears. What I mean by that is they obey vocal commands. Curse you to the fig tree. No man will eat from you hereafter forever. Boom, you're dead. From Jesus' mouth. What was that? Authority. Now, can I tell you? Okay, I'm going to go out to the woods and I'm going to start practicing. I'm going to kill oak trees. Well, you can't kill oak trees unless the Lord told you to kill an oak tree. And I don't think he's just going to let you go around killing oak trees or pine trees or whatever. You understand, though, we have some examples. And the first thing you got to know is the devil knows, or the thing knows, if you know. And so you do have to know. You have to have a revelation. Because today, you could go, something could come up, and even if you don't add, I command you to leave in Jesus' name, who Kenneth preaches, who Mark preaches, who Joyce preaches. And they all may have revelation of who Jesus is, and it's good to hear, and you need to continue to hear, but that won't work. You can't be a Polly Parrot and get this to work. You can't just say something without any revelation and expect the devil to leave. And so if someone ever says to you, I said the name of Jesus, I commanded to leave in Jesus' name, and it didn't work. Well, see, it didn't work should never be an option to someone who really knows. Because it has to work. I just think, I wish we could change. We should be more surprised when something doesn't work than when it does work. This is supposed to work. And so when we speak that name, things change. And so the other thing, you know, the devil knows, and then you have to know, because the devil said, well, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, who are you? And then in that case, the person was demon-possessed and tore him up. But y'all with me? So what's our prayer? Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. Lord, I want to know. Teach me, give me a revelation of my authority in the name of Jesus. The man at the gate called beautiful. Peter and John were walking by. The man gave them attention. And what did they say? Silver or gold have I none. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So what was that? They were using the weapon. They were using the name. They were using what was in their arsenal, the name of Jesus. Now that name was so powerful, that man leaped and walked and praised God. And then the Bible says in, I believe it's Acts 4:10, that faith in that name has made this man whole that you see before here you all. And then Jim was talking about during the offering, what did the religious people say? Don't preach or teach anymore in that name. You see, the devil understands the name of Jesus. And in that day, especially, the religious people were influenced heavily by, just the devil trying to keep the church from getting started. And so they commanded them not to preach or teach anymore in that name. And I say it like this many times. I've said it like this. Listen, you can use the name of God all you want. God bless you. God loves you. God's for you. And it really doesn't offend anybody. But there is a name that has split time. There's a reason they call it BC and AD. Jesus split time. I'm sure that'll try to be the next thing they'll try to take away. What Jim already said it, but he'll either be a stumbling stone or a cornerstone. It's a good name of a church. He'll either be your Savior and your Lord, or he'll be someone that you reject. You have to, that name makes you decide something. So you go around and start saying, have a good day in Jesus, or Jesus loves you, or bless you in the name of Jesus, you'll either get an eyebrow or a thumbs up or a... You start throwing that name around, and it causes a reaction, either positive or negative. Well, I just don't want to ruffle any feathers. But how many of you know, if you start using that name, just in everyday conversation, you're either going to open, you could open up doors that will never be, have never been opened before. Let people know that you know him. Let people know that he's changed your life. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2 as we close. Hey, Ted, instead of the normal song you do, can you do that, just you or whoever, do that Jesus, Jesus, Jesus song, you know, the new one that I like so much. Philippians chapter 2, 9 through 10. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. Remember, they said it again in Ephesians, that he's every name that's ever been named, Jesus is above that name. every name. And when you speak that name, everything in heaven and hell and earth has to bow. Now, heaven and hell, yeah, that's good. Things bow, things there. But where you and I should be concerned is about here on the earth. And so just saying the name of Jesus is good, but then understanding it's a weapon that causes the things of the devil to obey you, to get out of your life, to get out of your way. When sickness tries to come, in the name of Jesus. When something tries to attack your family, in the name of Jesus. It's not casual. It's when you're saying it, you know what went on behind it. I know for me, when I speak that name, because of some things the Lord dealt with me about when I was first starting out in the ministry, He took me back to a personal example in my life, and I don't have time to go through it, but He made it very real to me that when I speak His name, the devil remembers. When I say, in the name of Jesus, it's like a flashback. The Bible says this, if they would have known, they meaning the devil and all his cohorts, if they would have known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Because when Jesus gave up the ghost, when he said, it is finished, everybody shout, it is finished. It is finished. What happened? Well, it looked in the natural like, I mean, something was going on. Some rocks were cracking. The veil was being rent. But they didn't know. And suddenly, because of the book of Acts, it says that his soul, talking about Jesus, was not left in hell. That means to me he went to hell. And he went there for you and for me. And I know in some people they think that's controversial. But if he didn't go, you got to go. So it's not controversial to me. And the Bible says so in the book of Acts that he went there. And his soul was not left there. What was he doing there? Well, we get the behind the scenes, Colossians 2:15. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, in his ascension. And then the Bible says, when it was enough, the Spirit of God, the greatest display of power ever was when the Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. And you were raised with him. Raised where? To the heavenlies, seated far above every principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that's been given a name. Where are you seated today? I'm seated in heavenly places. What do you have? I've got a name that's above every name. And at the name of Jesus, everything's got to change.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.